21 of the federal government partial shutdown, putting it in a tie for first place. Tomorrow will be the first, if we don't reopen the government today, tomorrow at day 22, this will be the longest partial federal government shutdown ever. Now, Trump is proving one thing. Just my opinion, my observation here. He's proving one thing that every single Republican president that has caved to the Democrats and blinked when they are threatened with a government shutdown or threaten a government shutdown over some funding item has unnecessarily chickened out. Because I think things are not nearly, if you watch CNN, of course, it's the end of the world, but things are actually working out in Trump's favor. And I'll get into all of this today. Now, what's actually going on right now? You saw the address. Maybe you didn't. Trump got on there. He did his 8-minute address from the Oval Office. It was the most subdued Trump I have ever seen. Did you watch it? My observation, it was teleprompter. I know people said he was going to freewheel. And I said, no. This is not the time to freewheel. He gave a prepared remark. Prepared remarks there from the Oval Office. Very somber. Won a lot of praise from people that don't matter. The Republican Party establishment. This is the most presidential that President Trump has ever been so far. Right. But in essence, he delivered the type of remarks that nobody was expecting. People expected him to go in and breathe fire and be incendiary and use terrible language. And instead, he had that one line. You remember the line that stole it? I thought the best line, whoever wrote it, I feel it was Stephen Miller, the guy with the spray on hair, you know, the brilliant speechwriter. If it was Stephen Miller, whoever wrote this line, it was fantastic. You know what it was? When he said that Democrats build walls around their homes, around their mansions, not because they hate the people outside of the walls, but because they love the people behind the walls. Wow, those aren't the exact words, but it was a fantastic line. And it's fantastically true. The Democratic Party is supposed to be the party for the little guy. The rich, the politicians, Trump made mention of this, all the people that have police protection, who have armed guards, who have gates around their homes and around their neighborhoods, all the wealthy, connected, politically active people, they're going to be fine. Dangerous, illegal immigrants do not pose a clear and immediate threat to them. Of course, it can happen, a drunk driver, that type of thing. But, you know, the by and large, the people that are affected by this are poor people living in small places that are near the border that are getting overrun by criminal illegals, drug trade, MS-13 gangs, and so forth and so on. And the Democratic Party has absolutely, in my mind, have lost the narrative here because they're punting on this issue, calling a wall immoral. Everybody understands the principle of safety. Every American, every human understands what a locked door represents in their home. We all get it. You can't claim to me that somehow me locking my door is immoral, that I'm, you know, keeping good people out of my house. No, it's my freaking house. I'm going to control who comes into my house, when and at, you know, and who goes through that front door, back door, whatever. Doggy door, even, right? So the everybody gets this. We understand it's such a simple, visceral issue. And I'm hearing concessionary language coming from the Democratic side. I'm hearing things like, well, maybe we need, yeah, you know, Trump, maybe we need a wall, but we need immigration reform. You've probably heard this talked about on the news and elsewhere. We need immigration reform. So I have a Sam Nation solution to this problem. I don't see how we can't have both. And here's the plan that I would offer Chuck and Nancy. And I'm only half kidding here, folks, so just, you know, bear with me here. I don't think this is going to win a lot of praise from my haters out there. But look, here's an idea. Well, I think, well, we need to build a wall. So we say we're going to give permission to build a wall. Now, the Democrats, I mean, they're happy spending, you know, what is it, $12 billion a year or $20 billion a year on the UN. That's fine. They're happy spending money on a bunch of nonsense pet projects, $30 billion, $40 billion left and right. So they don't want to spend the $5.7, $5.6 billion, whatever it is Trump's requesting. So I get the sense that we need to be, you know, we need to cut costs. We need to deliver as big of a wall for as little money possible. Well, I know what we do here in the States when we have a problem like that, and it's called going to Home Depot and picking up some trabajadores. So my suggestion, and now hear me out. Oh, producer Robbie's shaking his head. He's very worried. Here's my idea. What if we made an offer to people that are south of the border that want to come into the country, and we say, listen, if you give us 12 months at minimum wage of your time to help build the wall, in turn, we will fast track you to a green card. What if you made that offer? See, now it achieves both things. I'm just compromise-minded. Democrats, the left, gets their precious immigration reform. They get, you know, they get a pathway for all these good people to come into the country. The good people that are coming into the country, by the way, are people that actually want to work by virtue of responding to this offer. Okay? Wait, this is not unprecedented. You know, we rewarded, there are periods of time in our history where we rewarded people with citizenship for fighting in our wars. That's, does that program still exist? You sign up for the military. If the military needs bodies, you sign up for the military as a foreign national, and if upon completing successfully a period of service, you're rewarded with citizenship. Normal. So it's the same thing. And since the Pentagon is going to be running this project anyway, Trump's threats of using the military in a emergency type situation is to be believed. It's easy. Now, this is okay. I get it. The reason the Democrats want immigration reform and no wall is they want to continually renew a periodic amnesty of illegals in the country. And they want a next crisis. They don't want to find a permanent solution to the crisis. From day one in all of this, I am not a person that I don't disagree in the big picture with amnesty. I'm a realist. I understand that the idea of deporting tens of millions of people from this country is not realistic. It's not going to happen. But I don't see it as anywhere in the realm of reality to give an amnesty today without first having the border secured. And that is precisely what the Democrats want to do. Now, I mentioned earlier that one of their constituencies, right, traditionally, right, are the working poor. And I don't just mean this to people that are unprotected, that are living in border states and border counties, whose properties are being overrun by drug traffickers and who are being threatened, and the people that ostensibly the Democratic Party cares so much about. The working poor I also refer to here are laborers in the U.S., represented, let's say, by unions and the like. And the Democratic Party, I for the life of me, I can't figure this out, that big labor and all the Americans, right, citizens of this country that are working and that whose wages are dropping for one reason only, and that is that the marketplace for jobs is oversaturated. You learn in economics, it's a basic principle, you learn that the more of something that you have, the less it costs. The less of something you have, whatever that good is, the less of it that's out there that's available, the price goes up. Scarcity drives up price. Well, I'm not advocating about creating artificial scarcity, but right now, by virtue of opening our borders and turning a blind eye to it, both Republicans and Democrats, Republicans because they favor big business, big corporate companies, and you know, and the better, you know, the what all the business associations all want illegals, right? They want cheap labor. And the Democrats see in it a voting block. And so together, these two political parties have disagreed on language, but in substance have been on the same exact page until the dawn of the era of Don. And by that, I mean Trump. And Trump is fighting a war. You have to understand this. Trump's fighting a war not just with Chuck and Nancy. He's fighting a war within his own party. He's fighting a war with establishment Republicans. He's fighting a war with all these dinosaurs in Congress and in the Senate who all of their donors, all I'm telling you, I know this for a fact, the Republican Party, the donor class within the Republican Party wants open borders. They'll never admit it, but they want open borders. And this is how these folks think. And so if anyone can open up a front against his own party at the same time against the Democrats, at the same time against the media, who are agitating this and who want nothing more than Trump to fail, if there's anyone that can do all of that and win it, it's Trump. And I'm hearing evidence of it. So like as we unfold this hour here, we go through this. I want to give you the data. I'm going to give you, you'll understand what I'm talking about, because I think Trump's going to prevail. And I'm more confident of that this week than I was last. And I'll explain as the program unfolds. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
You heard that Chuck and Nancy lost Cher? Cher the singer, you know, she was married to Sonny Bono, right, who was a congressman, Republican congressman from the desert. Cher's nuts, and she's a big-time leftist, kooky lady. If she weren't famous, she'd be that neighbor that runs around in silk pajamas she'd be that neighbor that you'd all laugh at. But by virtue of her celebrity, has some following. And she sent out a tweet, basically, I love you, Nancy, you're my bestie, blah, 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 blah. But just give Trump his five, end the suffering. Give Trump his $5 billion. Just give in to him. Come on, just give him the money and let's move on. It's a fissure, folks. It's a break. It's a schism. It's a separation between where the Democrats wanted to be in this fight and where they find themselves now. Now, Donnie Deutsch, you know who this is. He's a commentator. He does a lot of appearances on Morning Joe. He's also dating Trump's ex-wife. So he's a Democrat. He's dating Marla Maples. All that tells me is that he's nuts. Because Marla is, for all intents and purposes, she's nuts. Tiffany's mom, right? Tiffany Trump, that's her mom. And Maples is just a wingnut. Anyway, this is a Democrat. He's threatened Trump to a duel, to a fist fight. He goes on MSNBC and spews vitriolic crap about Trump 24/7. And here he is on Morning Joe on Thursday, just yesterday, talking about the state of the argument Trump versus the world. I think you'll find this surprising.
He's winning here. You have to understand he's going to open the government. He's going to declare an emergency. He's going to say the Democrats closed it. He's going to put the Democrats into court. I hope Chuck and Nancy today, you're figuring it out, because he's going to win this. This is absurd. He is a reality show producer, and he's producing this. I couldn't figure out why he went on the air the other night, because I knew he was going to do it then. Now he gets to say, well, I went on the air, I asked the people, I went down to the border, I had these meetings, and it turns it. It's a judo movie. He's going to say, I opened the government, and now he says, I opened it, and the Democrats are going to want to sue to close it again. The Democrats are going to take it to the courts, so I can't protect the country, and I can't keep the government open.
This is a variation of the argument I have made from the very beginning, although mine was a prospective agreement, and this, or an observation, and this is looking back at what's happening. But if you recall, and for those loyal followers out there who listen to the program from time to time, you'll remember what I've always said about this is Trump doesn't have to build the wall. Politically speaking, right? Politically speaking, it's not the result. It's the effort and the perceived effort that goes into getting it done. If the Democrats, together with their more liberal Republican cohorts in Congress, shut down Trump on this, and Trump absolutely tries to do everything. Let's say they get a veto override, right? They get the 66% of the votes out there in the House and Senate to override the presidential veto. And they send this omnibus spending bill without the $5.76 billion, whatever it is. And if then Trump tries, as Donnie Deutsch is saying here, declare the national emergency, go and appropriate money, emergency money via the Pentagon to take care of this, and gets shut down by the courts. And why would he get shut down? Well, because every time that Trump does anything that the Democrats don't like, they've sued him, right? Especially on issues of immigration. You'll remember all the presidential executive orders that we've talked about, and you'll recall. So they'll sue him, and now some liberal appeals court judge somewhere is going to say, yes, absolutely, abuse of power, and he's going to get shut down, and it gets shut down. And if it doesn't have to work out. He's winning, but more importantly, they're losing. And they're losing even if they get what they want, as long as he holds firm on this. So it's not just the Democrats that are losing here. I'm talking about the Democrats in Congress. But I'm telling you, I think even the media right now is losing this game. And there are fissures in support. And some of it, I'll get to the examples here. Just hang tight. Don't go anywhere. And I'll get this all to you. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
I was listening the other day to a friend of mine. His name is Sam, Sam Majowski. You'll find him very entertaining. He's very stylish. He's always wearing his suit. And if you want to hear someone's opinion that absolutely is correct, you listen to Sam. Anyone else is a waste of time.
Sam Nation here on the Sam Nation Radio Network. All right. One aspect of losing happened on the night that Trump gave his presidential address. And I think a huge miscalculation on the part of Democratic leadership was to get up and give a rebuttal. It was doomed from the start, my friends, doomed from the start because rebuttals, first of all, you can't compete with the president of the United States. I understand you've turned him into a buffoon. I understand that you think Trump is a clown. But he's giving an address from the Oval Office. And Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, or Minority Leader, and Nancy Pelosi, now Speaker of the House, looked like they looked so little standing at a shared lectern, a shared podium. You know, you saw all the memes of people went hog wild about it because they did look stupid. But beyond the humor of it, you're going into it and you're immediately following a headline act. You walk into that at a disadvantage. Now, add to it another observation. I tell you, did anybody get the feeling that they couldn't decide on who was going to say what?
They would have been so much better to have picked someone who was not Chuck Schumer or not Nancy Pelosi, who's good at speaking, or better yet, honestly, they would have been better with Chuck Schumer delivering the remarks than they were with both of them. It was awkward. It was awkwardly done. And I think ego got involved. I think that Nancy wanted to have some airtime. I'm Speaker of the House now. I'm number four, number three in the government. Look at me. And it was not a good look. It wasn't a good look for either one of them. So here is Brian Williams on MSNBC on Tuesday after the address, talking to James Carville. You remember Carville's, what was Carville? He was Bill Clinton's Karl Rove. James Carville, big-time Democratic Party strategist. And this is what the two of them were saying. Brian Williams talking to James Carville.
James, you shouldn't have to answer for all advanced people, right, all political types, and both right, parties. But tell me why responses are so bad tonight. This Chuck and Nancy visual tonight launched 1,000 memes while they were still talking. Yeah. There was an American Gothic meme. There was a right, your mother and I are very upset you stayed out so late meme. And this visual from tonight right, goes down in the pantheon.
And then he blubbers his way through it. Carville never blubbers, right? Always has a big mouth on him. There's nothing he can. This guy wants to go into it and defend the Democratic Party. And he can't do it. All he can do is just laugh. And he's laughing. And I know what's going through Carville's mind, by the way. Brian Williams just went off the reservation. He's not supposed to be making fun of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, who are, you know, the last line of defense to prevent Donald Trump from making America racist, bigoted, and hateful, right? These are the people that are supposed to save us from Donald Trump. And maybe even if it, you know, maybe it didn't work out exactly the way it should have, we should not be making fun of their valiant efforts. You got Brian Williams, MSNBC, poking fun at Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. One, it tells me that whatever can be said about the address and then the response, it's a net favor for the president. And the other thing that it tells me here is that once again, the Democratic Party made a terrible mistake of taking seniority and rewarding leadership, right? With rewarding seniority with leadership. They made this mistake catastrophically in 2016 by giving the Democratic nomination to Hillary Clinton. They gave it to her because, quote unquote, she deserved it. Well, they are still the same party. They are still the same party that gave the most important position, right? If the Speaker of the House, the Democrats win a majority of the seats in the House, they are now the party that has the House. Their person, a Democrat, whoever is the party leader, becomes, after a vote, the most important position as an answer, as a counterweight to Trump. Will get the most airtime, dot, dot, dot. And who do they give it to? They give it to, again, yes, somebody with seniority, somebody with experience, somebody with connections within the party. But to the detriment of getting the message out and to the detriment of a robust and successful opposition to Trump. So none of this bodes well for the Democrats. If you're a Democrat, you're listening to me, let me tell you, start getting very depressed, because there is going to be a second Trump term if things continue as such. All right. More media reactions on this and everything. We're going to do now. I'm sorry, folks. Today we're going to do a shorter program up against the clock. So we'll do that. Probably just cut off a little bit at the end here. So but I will cover everything that needs to be covered. And I promise to do that. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky back right after this.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Poor Jim Acosta can't catch a break. In the face of all of this ludicrousy, CNN is still trying to maintain the narrative that walls don't work. So Acosta goes down to the border. And he's down there right now. I don't know. Touring, looking at the well. He's looking at a fence. And he starts talking about how walls don't work. And this is the most fantastic bit of CNN buffoonery that I've ever witnessed. And that's saying something. Listen to this.
And here are some of the steel slats that the president's been talking about right here. As you can see, yes, you can see through these slats to the other side of the U.S.-Mexico border. But as we're walking along here, we're not seeing any kind of imminent danger. There are no migrants trying to rush toward this fence here in the McAllen, Texas area. As a matter of fact, there are some other businesses behind me along this highway. There's a gas station, Burger King, and so on. But no sign of the national emergency that the president has been talking about. As a matter of fact, it's pretty tranquil down here.
Oh, I see. Okay, so Jim Acosta went all the way across the country, flew on a private jet probably with this whole crew, burned a hole in the ozone, whatever it is, and goes down to the border, sees that there's this heavy-duty steel and concrete barrier, and says, well, what emergency? It seems pretty tranquil down here. I think the very definition of being deranged is when you don't see and can't appreciate the own immediate irony of your statement. You know, this, by the way, you got to understand, CNN is so dedicated to not getting the real story out about the border. There was some reporters, CNN called their affiliate. I think maybe this is the reason why Acosta had to go down and do this himself, because they called their affiliate station KUSI, which is a local TV station in San Diego, and they wanted them to go down and do a piece about the border and about, you know, basically walls don't work, right? That's the story that they want to do. So that the KUSI reporters go down there and find out, well, I'll tell you, here's the clip. Here is them discussing on air the story and how it unfolded. This is one of the reporters that was involved with the process is talking about this. Listen very closely.
And as a sign of the times in this debate on the shutdown, CNN asked if KUSI would provide a reporter to offer our local view of the debate, especially to learn if the wall works in San Diego.
KUSI offered our own Dan Plant, who's reported many times that the wall is not an issue here. In fact, most officials believe it is effective. The issue we face is the migrants and the debate over their treatment.
Now, knowing this, CNN declined to have us on their programs, which often present the wall as not required in other places, like the stretch of the Texas border the president visited earlier today. They didn't like what they heard from us.
It's just some background for you.
Ah, well, what do they call that? An inconvenient truth. So I'm telling you that CNN, the maniacal left, is losing this argument. And one of the things that the Trump side, well, Trump, basically, and whoever's behind him, where they're winning on this is that the messaging is so simple and true. So I, you know, this is fascinating. Now, what I'll tell you, what happens here if in the end Congress overrides the presidential veto or there's a need to reopen the government? What is all this talk of emergency powers that the president has? Let me give you a brief rundown on that when we come back, because I think it's an important part of the puzzle here. And I'll tell you, there's some arcane stuff in it, but I'll tell you the most important part of this that you need to know going into next week. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rzhovsky. Now, what Sam is the leading word incorrect thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, all right. What is all this talk about national emergency declaration? Can Trump just bypass Congress and get the wall built without them? Now, I'm going to say this. The short answer is yes. And the act that gives Trump the power to do this was enacted into law back in 1976. It's a statute that Congress passed called the National Emergencies Act. And it gives the power to the president to declare an emergency for a period of time and to use money, to basically appropriate money to solving that emergency. And it's not limitless, but it does free up the president, the executive branch of government, to spend money without authorization from Congress, which is an exception to the rule of how it normally works. Congress, the legislative branch, controls the money. Now, because it is a carve out of a fundamental constitutional principle that has established separation of powers, right? Our founders, when they created this beautiful country that we have, wanted the people who can spend money, Congress, and the president who can make executive decisions, right, the White House, they wanted them to be separate. They wanted this person over here to ask for money and those guys over there to decide what money would be spent. It's a checks and balances system. It's a very good way of doing business. And so if Trump does this, right, if he declares a national emergency to build the wall and begins building up, immediately there's going to be a lawsuit filed. And the constitutionality of this law will be tested. And what I suspect will happen is that the courts, the argument that the left is going to make, or the Democrats, whoever filed the lawsuit, their argument is going to be that Trump isn't declaring a national emergency, that he's inventing one. He's coming up with one. It's all hot air. And they're also going to say, and this will be the most important argument, that he's actually just using this as pretext to circumvent Congress, right? He first went to Congress, asked for the money, didn't get his way, threw a fit, and so is using this as leverage, and they're going to, as a backup. And that he was using it as leverage, and now basically Congress has forced his hand, and this is not the intended use of the law. Now, my answer to this, of course, depending on the judge, of course, the argument can prevail. But my answer to this, as I've looked at what's happened this week, there's two parts. One, will this succeed as a legal challenge? And the other part of it is, you know, what does this tell us about what Trump is thinking? If we look at all of the things that have been going on and go back to Tuesday. On Tuesday night, Trump gave very prepared, polished remarks from a teleprompter from the Oval Office. And what did he talk about? Well, he talked about the crisis on the border. He talked about the way that this is the immigration on the southern border, illegal immigration on the southern border is a, and in describing it, he didn't use the words, but it's a clear and present danger to the United States. There's something that he didn't do, though. And in the 8 minutes that he was on air, he didn't talk about how if the Democrats don't come to the table, that he would then ... declare an emergency and this and that. And a lot of people immediately afterwards, conservatives, Trump people, went out and criticized him. He didn't wave his stick. He didn't beat them. He would take the fight to them. And I'm here to tell you that was clearly indicative of the fact that Trump is seriously considering doing this, declaring a national emergency, that he's listening to his attorneys who are telling him, if you don't want the courts to later overturn this, don't talk, limit the amount of time you are talking about, hey, Nancy, Chuck, give me what I need. Give me the 5.7 million. Or I'm just going to do this without you. Don't do that. The courts have time and again, so Trump's been sued, the administration's been sued a bunch, right? Go back to, you know, past executive orders dealing with immigration. They've been sued all the time. And what, one of the things that end up in every one of those lawsuits are Trump's tweets, Trump's public pronouncements. And Trump is, I would say, quite, well, busy. He keeps, there's a high volume of information going out. And that information is, has in the past been used against him. And what have the courts decided on this? Time and again, ultimately, when it gets up, the courts have disposed of these actions when it's things like tweets, when it's things like offhand comments, because they're saying, look, it's theater, it's political theater, it's you know, it's not something that you can really hang your hat on. But I do believe strongly that prepared remarks from the Oval Office would be treated differently by the court than remarks on Twitter, than a tweet, than an offhand, you know, comment to a reporter during a back and forth at a press conference. And I think it shows that, yeah, Trump is seriously thinking about doing this. And he also he's listening to his attorneys. He's listening to he's getting advice. Would he prevail on this? But quite possibly. And it's back to where this all began. Trump doesn't need to succeed in getting his way, but he sure as hell needs to give it a valiant effort. As long as he does, this entire crisis on the border is owned by the Democrats. Everything that happens here on out is owned by the left. It's their problem. And Trump can go into a re-election fight and he can tell his base, I did everything I could. And I went, you know, all the way up to the Supreme Court and got kicked down, even though I don't think that would happen. But he can say that. And his base will love him more than ever. Conversely, with the kind of shaken confidence that a Democratic base has, that the media have in this narrative that the wall is immoral and the wall is terrible, we can't have walls and we should just drone everything and cameras and tripwires and whatnot. I think it's the losing argument. And whoever the Democratic Party candidate is in 2020, and in every congressional district that narrowly tipped Democrat in this cycle, I predict if the Democrats take the fight to Trump and lose on this, they are guaranteed to lose the White House and absolutely certain to lose these swing districts where they prevailed just last year. So this is all very interesting. We will follow it closely. I appreciate all of you. We're going to end the program here now. I appreciate everything, guys. Sorry I had to make it short today. But I'll be back next week for a full 2 hours, as per usual. Have a wonderful weekend. Love you all. Sam Rogowski over now.